Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gaberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. It seems as if most of us set a goal to make more money than what we're currently making. Some people achieve that goal with small gains, while other people make massive moves that land them in the millionaire club, a place everyone wants to be in nowadays. And this episode will help you reach that status. Today's guest is a self-made millionaire and entrepreneur and best-selling author who was born in 1982 in the middle of a revolution in Iran. He was raised in France for the majority of his childhood and eventually made his way to the United States in 1997. His book, Third Cycle Theory, is the second best self-published book with over 150,000 sales in 3 years. That book is on Amazon, but let's head straight into the episode. Today's guest for episode 112 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Pishman Gandhi, otherwise known as PJ. PJ, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on, Mark.
It is a pleasure to have you on the show, and I feel like getting into the Millionaire Club is such a good topic because it's something that I feel like a lot of people want to get into, and you help people get there, and you are there yourself. But before we go into that, I'd love some backstory. So why did you become an entrepreneur?
I don't really consider myself an entrepreneur. And I think that's part of the reason why I make a lot of money. It's because I am a business owner more than anything else. And I think that as a business owner, I have no illusions of what entrepreneurship is or how it works. And it's more a question of coming up with how to create real business transactions on a day-to-day basis for people. So, you know, I think I first had the, I would say, the luxury of working for myself, kind of being forced to, having been kicked out of a very, very good corporate career. And as a result of it, you know, you have to kind of figure out how to move on and move forward. And so I came up with a lot of different ways, including founding the world's first investment fund in luxury assets called VIP Motoring back in 2005. And then from there, continue to grow other businesses as well. And today, run about 8 different companies, totaling about $60 million worth of annual revenue. And on top of that, I'm retired. So I have different CEOs that run each of these businesses. So I'm not actually sitting there working in any of them.
It's interesting how you have all these teams and people who are helping you to continue to accumulate this income. And obviously, you had to start from somewhere to achieve all of your success. And what would you attribute, like, what do you see as the principles and habits, some of the key ones that guided you to success?
So two basic things, my friend. The first one is I'm never looking for money. I'm always looking for the extension of my talent and how to actually find different transactions to be able to convert my talent into dollars. You know, I mean, let's use something as relevant as, let's say, an investment, right? People ask me all the time, they're like, PJ, why are you not doing Bitcoin? You know, everybody's doing Bitcoin, everybody's making money. I'm like, well, I look at it this way. The more I focus on things that are not really relevant to my particular talent, the more I'm taking my focus away from what I should be doing that is going to give me back a lot of residual value over time. Not just dollars in my pocket. You see, like, good business is an extension of your talent. So in other words, good long-term business is about when you figure out your talent and you figure out how to get people to pay you for it. And in exchange, keep practicing it over and over and over and get people to pay you more and more and more money over time. So it's never kind of like one of these things where you just make some money and you move on to something else. I think that was the first thing I learned when I was, you know, much younger. And it's that good business is not just about riding the wave or catching the next big thing. So usually I tell people, if the first thing you ask me is what's a good business to get into in 2018, that's how I know you're going to stay poor the rest of your life. And then the other part to it, too, is I was never really worried about working. A lot of people are always afraid of working. They're like, I want to find the most efficient way to make $1 million. I want to find the fastest way to make $1 million. They're not really looking for the best way to find what they're good at and what they want to continue doing. They're just looking for a quick buck. And as a result of that, the universe gives them the exact same thing, which is absolutely nothing, because they provide no value to the universe. They get no value back. And so they're literally sitting there not getting what they want. And as a result of it, other people who are not afraid of the work, who are more focused on doing the steps and the work necessary to be known out there, eventually get to that place where their work becomes worth $1 million plus in revenue to people, and eventually to a place where it's worth $10, $15 million to people, which as a result makes you personally a millionaire, if that makes sense.
I love that idea with the universe, how the amount of value that you provide to people is dependent on the amount of value that comes back to you. But as you do provide value, like let's say it's like writing valuable content, producing it, and having a valuable product or service, the way that you do reach that $1 million status is to get people to buy those products or services and spread the word and love what you're doing. So how, with that in mind, can we attract audiences to our brands?
So first off, most people think they have a brand, and that's the number one problem, is most people don't have a brand. Most people don't even know what a brand even stands for. So, you know, I get a lot of kids that approach me and say, listen, I started a new clothing line, PJ. It's amazing. It's this amazing brand. And I'm like, how long has it been around? And they go, hey, listen, it's been around about 3 weeks, but I've got this amazing following on Instagram. It's got a lot of followers and people are excited about it. So first off, that's impossible for that to ever be a brand, because for a brand, you need to be around 5 to 6 years and have created what you call brand attributes for having real customers. And so, well, then they're like, okay, fine, I'm not a brand. I just have a business. I sell t-shirts. I say, okay, fine. How many t-shirts have you sold? Well, I just started, so I haven't sold that many. Okay, so technically you don't even have a business, because businesses are built off of processes that are going to be mastered over time and get better and better. And if you haven't had any processes because you've never sold product, then how can you ever have a business? So then they say, okay, fine, PJ, I don't even have a business. Maybe you just have a great product and I believe in it. What's wrong with that? I say, well, do you have a product? They go, yeah, I have a great t-shirt company. I said, okay, we've talked about that. You don't have a company, but you said you have a product. They say, yeah, I have this t-shirt. And so the question becomes, how many t-shirts have you sold? And the answer is usually like, well, I just started. I haven't sold any. Well, yeah, but that's the point. So therefore, you don't even have a product. A product is something that people have validated, is something they're willing to buy. If you haven't sold any to anybody, then how can you have a product? Well, you don't. You don't have anything. So reality is the biggest confusion people have is they don't really understand what business even is. So when you ask a question like what can we do to drive people to our brands, is typically the reason why most people will never make a dollar in business. They need to focus not on how to drive masses to their brand, but rather how to actually sell one unit of what they're doing over and over again and create a process around doing that. And when they learn how to do that, eventually things get better over time.
So it's interesting how you focus on that selling point, because you could get 100,000 people a month to your blog, but if none of them are buying, then you're still in the red and you're not making any type of income from what you're trying to create and offer people. And with that in mind, how do we get better at selling? Is it like a lot of phone conversations? Is it writing sales copy? What would your approach be for getting better at making sales?
So first off, I think before we sell, we have to create products people want, right? So that's the other thing, is a lot of people just build businesses because they're like, well, I thought this was a good idea. Well, how did you think that? Did you actually go out there and test it? Did you actually get people to give you pre-orders? Did you talk to people that offered you some kind of dollar as a means of investing in this to begin with because they thought the idea was good? And in most cases, the answer is no, right? So people are building products that people don't want to buy. Just because they think it's a good idea to them, they're not really validating and testing the market. So selling is subjective to kind of each individual and each individual company. There's no master formula for selling online is better than selling in person. Selling in person is better than selling via copy versus video and so on and so forth. I think if you create a product people want, and if you understand why people need it and who are those people that are in need of it, that need to pay for it and need to own it, then it becomes a lot easier, much, much easier for you to understand how to do so, so that you can actually get them to be part of it, you know, be part of the change you're creating, be part of what you're doing, and ultimately, eventually, right, end up giving you enough money so that you can continue to do what you do best.
And on this road towards being in the Millionaire Club and being able to get sales to your products, but beforehand, creating that product that people would want to get. Part of being able to reach these types of levels is being able to set goals for ourselves. But I feel like people set goals, but they don't necessarily accomplish them all the time. So what's your advice on getting better at accomplishing our goals?
Well, people set goals that they're not really goals like that. But you see, that's the problem, is all of these things are misdefined so much. So what people do is they send monetary goals, right? I meet a lot of people because I'm a big exotic car collector, and I get a lot of people that come to me and say, listen, PJ, I swear to you, mark my words, my next car will be a Lamborghini. And I look at the guy and I'm like, you're never going to drive a Lamborghini. And they look at me and they're like, you're such a prick. Like, you're not even like willing to support my idea, my goal, and what I'm about. And I'm like, okay. So first off, if you have goals of owning a Lamborghini, and the moment you make a goal of actually owning Lamborghinis, the moment you're declaring that you'll never own one. Because owning a Lamborghini or having a goal in sense of wanting things, right, and wanting to be a millionaire, et cetera. Saying I want to be a millionaire is not a goal. But saying I want to be the best chef in Chicago is a goal. Saying I want to own the number one protein store in Missouri is a goal. Saying I want to own or have the best auto detailing store in Boca Raton, that's a goal. So I can guarantee you that every one of those things I mentioned, those people are millionaires and they have $1 million in their bank account. But what happens is those are real goals that can be met and that can ultimately be matched by the mind because it understands what to do to get there. But when you say, mark my words, my next car will be a Lamborghini, or mark my words, I will make $1 million, That is grounds for guaranteeing you will not, because what you're doing is saying, mark my words, I have a reward in mind that I'm going to get for myself, and I have zero idea how to get there. And so as a result of it, you're very unlikely to get anywhere.
So you're not giving yourself that goal of I want to be a millionaire. You're saying like, I'll do something else instead, like I'll offer the best services. And the assumption is that those services will help you to become that millionaire because you're focused on providing the best services, and that by definition.
Well, you have to understand what it is you plan to do to get there, right? It's impossible to be like, I just want to be a millionaire, because that doesn't mean anything. But it's very possible to come up with what the business is that is going to get you there, you know? What is your belief in getting there, which is fine at that point. So the question really is more about, do you really actually know what it is you want to do to be successful? Or are you just excited about being successful, so you're not actually doing anything with your life?
That is a very interesting comparison. And I mean, just into part of this interview, you definitely seem very different compared to a lot of the other people who I've been able to talk to. And I mean, you're very successful, but I mean, it's not like you've been saying like, I want to be a millionaire. You have these different ideals that coincidentally helped you reach that status. So what do you believe is the difference between you and people who feel unfulfilled with where they're at?
Well, so purpose, I mean, I talk about this a lot in my books, right? Like the idea of purpose is often, again, freaking misunderstood by most people. People think that purpose comes from above, ultimately. Like it's a way to be like, hey, I have, you know, purpose in life. So you know, I've been given a calling, et cetera. The idea of fulfillment comes from the idea of feeling purposeful, meaning understanding your value in any given situation. It may sound like there is a divine thing going on, but there really isn't. The point is, any one of us can understand what our purpose is at any given time, in any given location, for any given reason. All we have to do is just understand what our role at that very moment is, such as I can find purpose in being a cashier at the local grocery store, as much as I can find purpose in writing books and helping people. Having a sense of feeling purposeful comes from my ability to understand my role at any given time in the situation I choose to put myself in. So purpose does not come from a greater power. It comes from your ability to understand what role you're playing in the situation you're in at that very moment. If people feel unfulfilled, it is because they do not accept that their role in whatever they're doing at that moment holds any value whatsoever. If you believe your role holds value, then you spend time making sure you do a good job at that role. If you do a good job at that role, then things keep getting better. People notice, people want to be around you, people will participate in helping you. But if you don't do that, then people don't, then nothing happens, and it just continues to go downhill from there. And then you never find any type of fulfillment in anything you do anywhere. So you're always found with a lot of the universe holds you back a lot, because it obviously realizes that you just have no idea how to actually belong to anything, because you're not putting in an effort to do so.
I really love that idea of getting better at your role and then better things happen. And I feel like the more effort we put in towards our roles, that's just going to result in more overall success based on all that time that we're putting in. But I feel like no matter where we are right now, we all have an idea of like what we want to reach. I feel like some people, they want to unlock their full potential, but they're held back in the process. Like for some reason, they feel like they're held back. And I'm wondering what you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential.
Well, they're not practicing anything, right? They're always bitching about what they don't like about something. They're not actually practicing to get better at something. Like, I mean, look, if you, this is the thing I tell most young people. I mean, you guys have a lot of years left around you, you know? I look at it this way, like think about a very simple concept of, we talked about being a cashier at a grocery store, right? You're going to spend, let's say, for example, 30 hours a week working part-time at a grocery store, right? If you're going to be there, why are you not putting in every effort you can? If you ask people, most of them will tell you, well, that's not my career. Okay, but you're already there and you're going to be spending time there because you chose to spend time there. So who cares if it's your career or not? Give it your best while you're there. That's all that matters, right? Because you're there for that same time. You're not going to take back the time you're spending there. So might as well actually like put in the effort of being the best while you're there, you know? And people don't think that way. So what happens is they say, well, this is not my career. The next job, I'll put my effort there. Well, guess what happens at the next job? Same exact thing. They get bored again and they're like, well, this isn't my career. This isn't what I thought it was. This isn't what I want to do. So I'm going to go find something else. What happens is people don't realize that when you become the best at anything you touch, you build what you call character. Character stays with you. Character is what's going to help you build a business that's going to make you into a millionaire, right? Because the bottom line is, if someone else, like a random person, is offering you money to pay you to sit your ass there and bag groceries, and you're not even capable of doing that without messing something up, you're not even willing or able to do that correctly, then you need to start reconsidering how are you ever going to be able to do what it takes to be super successful in your own business when it's so much more difficult. Like building a business is hard, right? So building a business is so hard that for someone to believe that they're going to do better then when they can't even bag groceries on time the correct way with a smile and get better at it, they're crazy. So typically I tell people, I'm like, if you have these ideas of grandeur of tomorrow when you own your business, it's exciting, but today it's not. So only then I will put in the effort because it's my company. You're out of your mind, meaning you're going to end up broke on the side of the street. And 10 years from now, you're going to have the same job you have now that you're bitching about. So it's just not, you know, the right thing to do.
That's a really fascinating imagery of that grocery worker. And there is a quote that I just thought of. It's definitely unoriginal on my part. Like other people have said this before me, but the way you do something is the way that you do everything. And hearing your example, I mean, I could totally see how if you're not going to try in this one area, then you're not going to try in other areas, even if they seem better than that first opportunity that you got. But as we go through our journeys, and this could be like whether like first job trying to scale up or a more common case for listeners having these ambitions to grow a business, we all face certain challenges along the way. And PJ, I know you've had certain challenges along the way as well. What do you believe is one of the big challenges that you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
I don't think I've ever had a huge challenge in the way you may think. You know, people always look at their lives as like either success, failure, or everything in between, you know, like in all the things they've had to overcome. I mean, look, every day is a challenge for all of us. We have to figure out how to get out of bed, find purpose and find fulfillment in whatever we do. And we also have to be able to do it repeatedly over and over until we can get ourselves to the next step and so on and so forth. And I think that's the same for every single human being. I mean, you know, being able to do something great every day and to be able to do it again and again without losing momentum is what it takes to get rich, and it's what it takes to be successful. And that's why so many people fail. So personally for me, you know, one of the biggest blocks in my life that I've been able to overcome is I never lose momentum because I understand myself enough to know how to create change around me all the time so I can keep winning. And so what I'm saying is that a lot of people, if they got to know themselves a little bit better, would be able to spend more time ultimately getting to know themselves, would be able to spend more time doing what they want to do instead of what they need to do.
And it's interesting how you don't point out a big challenge, but how every day is a challenge. And we always have a choice each day to write the blog post or not write the blog post, to put in the work or sit back and watch TV for the entire day. We all have all these different choices running through our minds. And each day can be seen as a fun challenge that we should embrace and put all of our effort into. So I really love this new insight to the question that I love asking different guests.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I mean, we're all human beings, right? And human beings are the same, you know, and I think that's what people fail to realize. They think some of us are like geniuses in business. So we set something up, we work hard for 6 months, and then we sit back and the cash rolls in. I mean, look, I've sold, I make fun of this a lot, but look, I wrote Third Circle Theory. And actually, to correct you from earlier, it sold almost 500,000 copies now in less than 2.5 years. And one of the big things about Third Circle Theory was, you know, it got really famous, got really big. It gave me a big following around, you know, that concept of writing books. And people are like, well, you released a new book. It's your second one. It's going to sell like hotcakes automatically, you know? And the answer is that's not true. I still have to promote it like any other human being that's launching a brand new book, you know, even if they have or have not had any type of success before. So what I'm saying is a lot of times we get confused and we think other people have it easy, but we fail to see that other people are having the same exact challenge and struggle we're having. They're just not publicizing it, right? And they're not frustrating, but they're not getting frustrated about it. They're just figuring out a way to get it done, you know, instead of sitting around and bitching about why it's not getting done. So what I'm saying is there's such opportunities for all of us to look past ourselves and just figure out how to make it rather than bitch about what we're, you know, what's not working for ourselves.
PJ, thank you for sharing those really great insights. And I mean, it's really amazing that your book's been able to make all those sales. And with books on mind, one of the questions I enjoy asking, because this allows you to get a lot more insight from each episode beyond, what are three great books that would have a really good impact on us as we try and start and grow businesses?
So I'll tell you, read Third Circle Theory first, read Radius second, in that order. Don't skip. Don't go to the new stuff first without understanding the old stuff. It's important because Third Circle Theory teaches people about how to know themselves. Radius teaches people how to understand business. And those are really two very, very important components to being successful in general, is have a clear understanding of what some of that language is people use, like, I want to be successful, I want to do this, I want to do that. All of these things are misunderstood, and like, what is branding, you know, what are products, what are services, things that we think we understand, but when shaped with some of these concepts I teach in there, people end up changing their minds about how they look at their business, which is kind of why I've been working so hard to write these books. And then the last book that I actually recommend people read, I know it's going to sound really bizarre, but it kind of ties everything together in an instance of understanding that you have to do your part and then the universe does its part. And that book is The Alchemist. The Alchemist is just it's a fable, but a very interesting fable about how the universe rewards those that, you know, take a step forward rather than those that hide. So, you know, check out those three books. I think you'll find enough in there. If you really are not starting your business and knowing the direction you're going after these three books, I think it's more of a personal issue at that point than it is like a business issue. There's enough information there to get anybody started. So if there isn't, then, you know, I'll usually tell people, instead of reading more books, start using Google more.
And that is interesting to use Google more. I do find myself doing that as well. I used to read like 10 to 30 books a month. I'm more towards like 5 to 10 a month now because I am using Google, but those are some really great book recommendations and breakthrough success listeners. You can all head over to markgabrity.com/E112 to see those books and the show notes for this episode. And before we put this episode to a close, I'd love to flip the tables a little bit. So PJ, I've asked you a lot of questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I think people need to start asking themselves, you know, what are they talented in? Because I think we question purpose, you know, we question fulfillment, we question rewards. We very few times question talent. You know, I think we all understand that we know how to get skills. Skills are very common. Anybody can learn them. But what are our talents? Are we spending time focusing on learning what our talents are and how to use them to actually connect our talents to this idea of creating transactions? So I think that's the big question people need to ask themselves.
PJ, thank you for giving us that great question that we should be continuing to ask ourselves and for sharing all of your great insights throughout this episode. For anyone who wants to keep in touch with PJ, head over to secretentourage.com. And don't forget to get his book, Third Cycle Theory, over 500,000 sales on Amazon. Definitely get that book if you want to grow your business and the other books that PJ mentioned as well. PJ, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast. Thank you for sharing your insights with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, buddy.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgabrity.com/retweets.